So good to be with you this morning. We continue our series on CORE. CORE is a series where we're looking at values that we hold close to our hearts as a church and we strive to live out day in and day out. Last week, Pastor Drew was with you and he shared participation over observation. And this morning, what I would like to share with you is people matter. People matter. So as we prepare ourselves to hear from God and the word that he has for us this morning, would you pray with me? Gracious God, we come together in your presence this morning and thank you yet again for the opportunity to be here in this place to worship you. Open our eyes to see you in this place this morning, Lord. Open our ears to hear from you this morning and open our hearts to be transformed by your living word of truth so that we may leave this place knowing without a shadow of a doubt that we matter to you and therefore people should matter to us. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Doesn't it feel good when you sense that you matter to someone? When you sense that you matter to someone, it feels so good. I was thinking back when I was preparing the message for you this morning, some years ago. Actually, I was in my early 40s. The children were small at that time. My husband was a co-scout master at Rehoboth United Methodist Church, our home church. And they were planning a camping trek, so to speak, for a long weekend. It was going to be Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. And what they were going to do is go up through Camp Daniel Boone in North Carolina up into the Pisgah Forest for 4 days. And so I thought that was a great idea. So I went to my husband and I said, Mike, I would like to go with y'all on this trip. Because you're one of the scout masters, our son is in the scout troop. And he looked at me and he said, are you sure? You sure you want to do this, Faye? I said, yes, I do. He said, well, you're going to have to get a backpack and get all your gear together. You know, that can be heavy. So I did. I went out, I bought my backpack, got all my gear together. And we were living in a neighborhood then. So every morning I would get up and start walking around the neighborhood with that backpack on. And I'm sure people thought I was a ditzy little blonde for doing that and wondering what in the world I was up to. But after a couple of weeks, I felt like I was really prepared for this, you know? And so the day comes, and we embark upon this camping trip, and we make our way up to Camp Daniel Boone. And, of course, my husband Mike and Wayne McDaniel, they're leading the troop up the path, and it was kind of like single file, and I brought up the rear, which was fine for me. I was just glad to be a part of it, and at first, everything was going well, and then it started getting steep and steeper, and as I started clawing into the side of the mountain to pull myself up to the next ledge, I would invariably hold on to a rock that was loose, and it would come loose. And you've heard the old saying, three steps forward, two steps back. That was me. Well, there was a little boy in the troop named Greg Smith. He was about 10 years old at the time. And he looked back and saw me and took pity on me, I'm sure. And he said, Miss Faye, I'll help you. Watch me. And so he would make sure as he was going right in front of me that the rock, he would point, go this one, or the limb to hold on to was sturdy. And he did that all the way up the mountain. But even when we would come to a plateau and it would be level, it was pine straw and leaves that were a little bit damp and I'd be a little bit slippery. And so he started just pushing all that aside for me as well. He did that going up the mountain as well as coming down the mountain on Monday. It was a little thing for him, and I'm sure Greg never thought much about it. But I'll never forget that experience because here, a little boy made me feel special, you know, and that I mattered to him. You know, God sees and values people. God sees and values people. How do we know that? Well, we don't have to go very far in the scripture to know that, because in Genesis, we read in the first chapter that God created humankind in God's own image. Of course, God created us to love and be compassionate to others. And how did we do with that? We didn't do so well with that, did we? Along the way, if we read our Old Testament, we know that God sent prophet after prophet, and we didn't pay any attention to them at times. And so God, in God's wisdom, said, you know, I just need to send my son. I'll send my son Jesus to my people and let him model what it means to love me and to love others. And so he sent Jesus. But Jesus did that. Jesus loved on people. He prayed with people. He healed people. He went to people in the fringes of society. But he also climbed up on a cross. And Jesus died for us, paid the debt for us, so that believing in him, we could have everlasting life. He touched people. He was there with them in their needs. You know, the scripture from Matthew today gives us a classic example of Jesus interacting with someone who was on the fringes of society. Number one, it was a woman. And in those days, a woman was very low down on the social ladder. As a matter of fact, there were only a couple of classes below a woman, and that would be children. Children had no status. And then, of course, slaves and servants. So this woman that Jesus encountered had that strike against her. But you see, she had an issue. Have you ever had an issue in life? Well, she had an issue in life. And her issue was she was hemorrhaging. She wasn't hemorrhaging just for a little while. She was hemorrhaging for 12 years. And what I would invite you to do this week in your Bible study is go to the Gospel of Mark. Gospel of Mark, 5th chapter. Because it fleshes out her story a little bit more. You see, she went to doctor after doctor after doctor. And they couldn't help her. Instead of getting better, she got worse over time, 12 years worth. So here she was, a woman. Here she was, she had this issue. And this issue that she had was bleeding, she was hemorrhaging, which would have made her unclean by Jewish standards, which would explain why she came up behind Jesus. And she said to herself, if I can only touch the hem of his garment, I believe that I will be healed. She had heard about him, undoubtedly, and she had enough faith to risk going out in a society that didn't care a thing about her and risk touching the hem of his garment. Now, what was Jesus doing that day? Well, you need to read a little earlier before this particular passage to find out that Jesus was on his way to visit and to heal the leader of the synagogue's child. So Jesus was on a mission. Have you ever been focused and headed somewhere? Well, Pastor Jeff tells me all the time, Faye, you walk fast. And when I give you something to do, boy, you just go after it. Well, it's a double-edged sword because you see, when I'm going after something or doing ministry, sometimes I miss something that's right there at me. Jesus stopped in his tracks, although he was on a mission to heal somebody. And he not only stopped, but he saw this woman. He saw this woman and had compassion on her. He did not condemn her for being a woman. He didn't condemn her for having an issue of blood. He didn't condemn her for the fact that her even touching his garment would have made him ceremonially unclean, at least. He didn't condemn her for that. He had compassion on her. In other words, he turned society's reasoning and laws, the Jewish laws, upside down. He was interfacing with someone he shouldn't have by their laws. Now, you know, it's easy for us to have sympathy on somebody. And I'm sure in her life of 12 years, there were people that said, well, you know, that's too bad about her, that she's having a rough time. That's sympathy. Compassion is something different. Compassion means that you've got love in action. Love in action. It means that you care enough about somebody else that you'd be willing to put them before yourself. That's what compassion is. Coming alongside someone else to put their needs before your own. But you know, the problem is for us, for you and me, is our compassion is often conditional. Our compassion is often conditional. You see, before we ever have compassion on somebody, we have a set of standards that come with our compassion. For example, does the person behave the way we think they should behave? Do they look the way we think they should look? We place our own values on others many times before we would ever reach out to them. The other thing that we do is we're so self-consumed with what we're doing and with our needs many times that we miss opportunities, my friends. We miss opportunities. Jesus saw this woman. Let me ask you a question. Do we really see people? Is there somebody that you see today that is in need? Is there somebody you see today? Do we really see people, or do we have blinders on and miss people that might be right around us that have a need, that just maybe need a smile or a phone call or a card or some kind of a touch point? Have you ever had a nudge? You know, as Christians, we have the Holy Spirit that lives inside of us, that gives us little gentle nudges at times to do things. Do you ever get a nudge? I do. Sometimes it's out in public. Sometimes it's with my family or friends or here in church. A nudge to do something. Do we pay attention to it? Do you pay attention to those nudges? It works the other way around too, my friends. Do we allow people to see us? Do we allow people to really see us? You know, we're pretty good at putting on a smiley face. I call it a happy mask. How are you doing? Oh, I'm fine. And really, we're not. We're not fine. There's something going on in our lives. It's been a little over a year since my husband had a massive heart attack, and he was flown to Duke Hospital in Durham. At first, I had very little access to him, very few minutes at the time, because he was so critical. So I spent most of my days in the waiting room. And so I would sit there and try to have a pleasant look on my face. I had no appetite. I didn't want to eat anything. Just miserable and feeling helpless. I couldn't help my husband. Well, there was a man named Grady that was in that hospital too. And his wife was very critical back in ICU as well. And he noticed that I never ate a snack. I never went down to the little snack bar to get anything to eat. And so one morning, not long after I got there, he brought me a banana. And he handed it to me and he introduced himself. He says, I'm Grady. You really need to eat this banana to stay strong. And so he got a little ritual where about every day he would give me a banana in the morning. And so I would eat that. But it didn't stop there. My daughter came up to see me, drove up one afternoon and surprised me. And she says, I'm just going to stay overnight with you, Mama. And I said, well, you know, I've got a room with this lady and she's letting me go there and I'm paying her a little bit for the room to sleep, but I don't have arrangements for you to go there with me. Let me get us a hotel room. I'll call and see if we can find us a place. No, Mama, let's just stay here in the waiting room, and here's why. Because at night, I think we might be able to see Daddy a little bit more. We might can get back there and see him. So we did. Well, Grady found out about it, and he went and got her a pillow and me a pillow, her a blanket, me a blanket. Just little things like that that Grady would do that meant the world to me. And of course, Angie got to know him too. Do we allow ourselves to be seen? It might be a little thing to us or to somebody else, but it's an expression of love. The story of Jesus's encounter with this woman made Jesus even more famous, didn't it? But there's something greater going on in this story. Did you notice in the reading of the scripture today that Jesus called this woman a very endearing name? He called her daughter. Now remember, she's a woman. She's got an issue of blood, fringes of society. She's not a part of the in group, is she? No, she was invisible. He called her daughter. Someone on the outside was being invited to the inside. In other words, Jesus was bringing this woman back into the community in public. He did it for the community's purpose and for her purpose to see that she was valued, that she mattered. She mattered to him and that she should matter to them as well. When I entered high school, ninth grade, I know you probably find this hard to believe, I was really shy. Had a hard time talking to people. I had one really good girlfriend, Teresa. Well, I came from a family of six kids, and while we had everything that we needed growing up, by the time all the bills were paid, there wasn't a whole lot of margin left over for extra things, including things like clothing. Fortunately, my mother was an exceptional seamstress, and she made me the cutest little blouses and skirts and dresses, just pretty little things. Well, you know, once you get in middle school and high school, things kind of change. And I'll never forget, you know, in the first couple of weeks, there was a little boy that walked up behind me, pulled my collar out, and noticed I didn't have a tag. And so in front of a group of people, he said, "That's not a bought outfit. Your mama made that. That's homemade. It didn't come from Taps or Lurie's or Haltewangers or any of the nice stores we buy from." I was so embarrassed. Thank the Lord I had Teresa, my very good friend, and a couple of other friends a little bit later on that embraced me, that helped me to know that I mattered, even though he was trying to make me a target and bully me. Maybe you need a Teresa in your life, or maybe you need to be a Teresa to somebody else. God asks us to be that way, to show that people matter. God inspired the Apostle Paul to write to the church in Rome. And Paul challenges us in the scripture to extend help and hospitality. And we can do that in every area of our life. Not only in church, but in our community, neighborhood, with family, friends, coworkers. In every part of our lives. Romans 12:13, share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Practice hospitality. Well, I would like to compliment Mount Horeb United Methodist Church and you all in this room, because you know what? People matter here. It's a big church. church. But people matter here. I see it. I see it as people pull into the parking lot and they're greeted by many of you. I see it when they come in the doors and the red shirts, our greeters at the welcome desk, welcome them. I see it when people take welcome bags to homes with bread and goodies in it after church. I see it when our staff makes phone calls on Monday night to first-time worshipers to say, "We're so glad you're here. Can we answer any questions? Can we do anything for you?" People matter here. I know that because as pastor of congregational care, one of several here now, I know that we have teams of volunteers. Teams of people who will go out to a hospital and make a visit, cover a surgery at 5:30 in the morning, go visit a shut-in, take Holy Communion to a shut-in, come along beside somebody that their loved one is dying, conduct a memorial service or a funeral, provide support groups. We have a vibrant Stephen ministry team here, people who have 50 hours of training, male and female, that can come alongside any of you that might be in a crisis, lost job, death of loved one, divorce, whatever it might be. Call me or call one of the pastors if you have any need. Do we get it right all the time? No. Do things fall through the cracks? Occasionally they do. But we strive. We really do strive to show that people matter. A question I ask myself often, and I ask of you today, where, when, and how are you seeing and helping those in need? Where, when, and how are you seeing and helping others in need? Are you exhibiting that people matter in your life? That's what Jesus would want you to do. You heard from Candy Bartman about the cancer support group that meets the first and third Tuesday of each month for men and women and caregivers. She's passionate about it. We also have a divorce care for adults and teenagers and hope to have one for children. We have a grief share support group that comes alongside people grieving the loss of a loved one. And there are probably some other support groups we need to start. Do you have a nudge in your heart? A nudge from God to do something, to show somebody or some group that they matter. Soon you will hear something about a night to shine, a night to shine. We are going to be a regional support church for Night to Shine, and we'll honor people with special needs and also show the value of life itself. We're going to need lots of volunteers, so be on the lookout for that. After this service, there will be tables outside for you to look and see the different ministries that have needs of volunteers. Please prayerfully consider, especially if you're not involved in some type of ministry here. It's a good way to get to know people and also serve the Lord. John Wesley wrote it this way. John Wesley is the founder of Methodism, and he wrote it this way. Do all the good that you can, by all the means you can, in all the ways you can, in all the places you can, at all the times you can, to all the people you can, as long as you can. And Mother Teresa says, not all of us can do great things, but we can do small things with great love. All of us have something to offer to others, and we should. Why? Because people matter. People matter to Jesus, and people matter to us and should continue to matter to us. John 13:34 through 35, Jesus is speaking here, and he says this, "A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." And of course, Jesus showed us that love with examples like with this woman and others in the scripture. But the greatest example of sacrificial love was when he climbed up on a cross and gave his very life so that, believing in him, we might have everlasting life. He took upon himself our guilt. He paid our debt so that we could have life in him.